Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark. Elijah Goldstein with us. He has a private practice in West Los Angeles. He's the co-author of a mindfulness-based stress reduction workbook and the author of the Mindfulness at Work program, currently being used in many of the multinational corporations. He's the founder of the Mindfulness and Psychotherapy column in the psychocentral.com and is a frequent contributor at the Huffington Post. He is the author of The Now Effect. Now this moment can change the rest, how this moment can change the rest of your life. Elisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much. Am I pronouncing your first name right?
Elisha, yeah.
Elisha, oh good, I'm glad I got it. Elisha, most people are living 10 minutes or an hour or 2 weeks or 3 months into the future, or 4 years, 5 years, 10 years behind, and they just don't know how to get into right now. And I would venture to guess that because of that, and we're talking about most of the population, and because of that, they live such a diluted life. There's always something missing. And I think what's missing is when they don't stand there and look in the mirror and say, oh, that's me right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be aware of what actually matters to a person at any given moment when they're so focused, when their brain is kind of wired in a way to focus on the past, to kind of look at, you know, what's been going on for them, what's working, what's not working, or anticipate the future to kind of plan and be ready for what's to come, what's coming next. The issue is that, you know, we're actually wired that way to evolve. I mean, the animals in the savanna that were looking towards the carrots, the things that were actually good for them, didn't really last very long because they were eaten by the lions on their gene pool. So it's hard to actually focus on what is happening right now. And, you know, I just want to throw out this quote that, you know, the Now Effect is kind of based on, which is, Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor, and he was also a neurologist and a psychiatrist. And he said, between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. Our work is to kind of retrain our brains to be able to become more aware of the spaces of awareness in our life so we can recognize there's more choice, possibilities, and opportunities than we ever knew were there before. And that's really the Now Effect. That's the purpose of the Now Effect.
Okay, so in essence, what you're saying, and I'm not a clinician, so stop me. I'm going to paraphrase. So what you're saying is basically that we're hardwired, but the hardwire is not hard, so hard that it's got to be the effect for the rest of your life. If you begin to understand where the behavior comes from, what triggers the behavior, what causes it, and then if you get into the neurosciences, what chemicals are triggered to produce certain effects. And if you begin to understand that about yourself, then all of a sudden you can stop and get into the right now and know how to control it.
Yeah, I would actually say we're kind of softwired.
Okay.
You know, we're softwired in a way because what we're learning is, and this is, you know, kind of written throughout the book, is that there's an area of neuroscience right now that's very exciting. It's called neuroplasticity. It's the idea that through intentional action, through intentionally paying attention to something in a particular way, we can actually rewire the neural pathways of our brain. And you know, that's what we're trying to do here. I think that's what you're kind of getting at.
Sure.
And what we're noticing is actually in some of these studies where they're engaging in some of the practices that are throughout this book, is we're actually seeing growth in particular areas of the brain that have to do with flexible decision making, that have to do with feeling a sense of connectedness with other people, of feeling a sense of empathy. And in other words, we're kind of rewiring a healthier brain to be able to live life more effectively and open up to, you know, the possibilities that are there. And this is real and powerful, and it's happening. And it's kind of the rave and the craze in the field of research and neuroscience right now. But this book kind of delivers it in a more palatable way.
Sure. And let's talk about the word growth for a minute. You know, there's certain areas of the brain that are growing. Are they growing because they're now recognized? And when I say recognized, if you get anything that lays dormant and you don't utilize it, you don't activate it, it just stays there. But when you recognize and you discover that there's a certain area that has a function that we haven't really been using, and you do what you do to activate it, that's when the growth happens.
Yeah, and it's just like if you were blind, if you lost your eyesight at some point, that part of the brain, the occipital lobe, would kind of atrophy a bit. And, you know, so we grow wherever we place our attention. That's the area of the brain that kind of grows. So if we're constantly focusing on automatic negative thoughts all the time, or self-judgments, or things that we actually can't do, all these limiting beliefs, that's the area that grows and gets stronger and bigger, and it starts to become more automatic. It's the classic teaching of what we practice and repeat in life is what we get. And so if we start, the moment we're noticing that our minds are acting in a certain habitual way that's unhealthy or not helping us, that's a moment we're in a space of awareness. So in that space, again, we have a choice on how we want to direct our attention. And so we can make these more conscious choices to tune into what matters. And when we are tuning into what matters, that's when we're starting to activate those other areas of the brain that you're talking about, that and grow those areas of the brain so those start to become more automatic. You know, it's kind of where learning theory and neuroscience overlap. Learning theory is just the idea of whatever we practice and repeat in life is what we get. And it's starting to be proven in the area as we're starting to scan people's brains. It's starting to kind of show up that way. But before we're able to make choices to act in healthier ways, we have to be here. We have to be now. That's where the choices lie. And otherwise, our brain's making just choices for us through habitual patterns that maybe are really unhealthy for us.
Okay, but the here and now can be something that was activated 10, 15, 20 years ago, that unconscious activation of a memory, and we have a reaction to it. I think it was DiMaggio, right in your area at USC, when he talked about the somatic markers, you know, that those triggers that you're not even aware that they're there. Obviously, the neurosciences, they use it in advertising all the time. But there are so many people whose lives are run by their past, and they are thinking that they're in the present, but their responses are based on something that happened in the past, and it neutralizes the kind of life they could have today. Now, what I'm hearing you say is that if you recognize it and understand it, you have this thing called choice. But if you don't understand it, you can't choose otherwise.
If you're not able to notice it when it's happening, your brain's making the choices for you. And I think what you're touching on is also a really important point, because the reality is everything we perceive in this present moment is all based on our experience of the past. So if we had difficult childhoods, or we had some kind of trauma-related activity and a trauma-related event in our life, or, you know, whatever it is, what happens is the stimulation comes in through our senses. It references all our experiences in our past and spits out an interpretation of this present moment. So we get interpretations like, well, I can't really do this, or, you know, this is my glass ceiling, or, you know, life's not really that exciting anyway. No one can help me because no one ever really has been able to help me, or whatever it is. We don't actually see the rose in front of us, in other words. Sure. We see all the memories of all the roses that were there. So we never get to experience life fresh. And, you know, this is so much about learning how to pop out of those unhealthy habitual reactions or actions in life, and be able to step into that space of awareness and be able to keen in on what really matters to me in this moment. I mean, we've seen all kinds of books out there, like Tuesdays with Morrie, or I think there's a recent one called Enjoy Your Sandwich or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, this is all talking about like engaging with what really matters in life. But how do you do that if you're not present in the here and now? So, you know, science and psychology are kind of woven together right now with this area called mindfulness that's starting to show us very practical applications that make a lot of sense to us on how to actually do that, how to engage with what really matters, how to regain that sense of choice.
Sure. Two things. But number one, you want a great example of mindfulness? Dynamite example, right? Are you sitting by a desk?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, touch the desk, okay?
Okay.
Okay, the desk now just came into existence. And this is everything that you're talking about. Before you touched that desk, it wasn't there. It was there, it was part of where you are, but it wasn't there. And most people are like that with life. They don't touch it. It doesn't exist until you concentrate, until you become mindful, like what you're talking about. And I think that's a prime example of it. We run through life not noticing anything until we, as you say, become mindful, become now, the effect of now.
Yeah, and now sounds kind of really exciting. It's been kind of a craze for a little while, and, you know, it reminds me of a great cartoon. There's like a woman standing in line, and in front of the woman is another woman with a baby that's like screaming and crying. And she says something like, I want to learn to live in the moment, just not this moment, some other moment, like a moment on the beach.
Yeah.
And so, You know, and so there we are. We all want, you know, to be present to our life, but we have these habitual kind of thoughts and reactions that kind of try and steer us away, trying to move us towards something that's more pleasant and away from the things that are unpleasant. And, you know, what we find sometimes is even by learning how to relate to the difficulties in our lives differently, what we find is that that's where the gifts sometimes really lie. We can learn to be less enslaved by our habitual reactions, even to, you know, the things that rub us the wrong way in life. And when we do that, we recognize, wow, I really have a little bit more freedom here than I thought I did. That's that idea of I have more choices here. I don't have to be run by this. There's a great quote by a 13th century Sufi poet, and his name was Rumi. And he says, don't turn away. Keep your gaze on the bandaged place. That's where the light enters you. So, you know, part of this work is also about learning how to relate to even our difficulties differently so that we can recognize that we can tolerate our distress in life, that we can learn to treat ourselves with greater compassion, greater kindness. And in doing that, what we start doing is we start correcting this automatic negativity bias that we have in our minds, that our minds are kind of automatically kind of tending towards the negative in life, and we can start priming our minds towards what good is actually happening in life. And in doing that, we open ourselves up to a greater sense of happiness on top of it all.
It's also called making a distinction between here and now. I'll give you a prime example. I said, I probably told the story 12 million times, but it just brings the point home. I'm 8 years old. I'm in front of the mirror. I got my cowboy hat on. I got my toy guns. And I'm screaming and yelling, and I'm having the greatest time in the world. Well, my dad walked in and he laughed at me and shut me right off, totally humiliated me. Now, as an 8 year old, that was the last time I played in front of the mirror out loud. As an adult, I got it. I work with this stuff all the time. But as a teenager, you didn't laugh at me. You didn't talk down to me. You didn't humiliate me. There would have been a fight, an argument, or something. Unconscious reaction, something stimulated, a memory that that triggered that reaction. And I think that's really what we're talking about. We're reacting. We're not living in the now. We're living 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And at the same time, it's making the distinction of where am I? And the moment that you can actually make that distinction and have, as you're talking about, all of the processes to be able to control, to make the distinction, you change your entire life. It's a shift in thinking, but you got to know it's there.
Change your entire life, and you can do that in those moments in time. That moment that you recognize, wow, I'm reacting from something in the past. You popped into that space of awareness and say that there's things in this purview that I'm not even aware of right now. Yeah. I want to just kind of touch on just briefly that idea that you had about touching the desk.
Yeah.
And now the desk exists.
Yeah.
You know, we walk through life, you know, with automatic judgments about who people are in our lives, and we kind of freeze people into these images we have in our mind about who this person is. I know who this person is. I know who the checkout clerk is. I know who my father is. I know who my friend over here is. And what happens is, over time, as we gain experiences with these people, we kind of harden the way that we see them, and we're no longer really connected with them. And, you know, part of this work is about seeing if we can put aside those biases of the past, like we were talking about, put aside those biases of the past and seeing if we can connect fresh to even the people in our life. You know, we're touching this desk. I know it exists.
Sure.
How can we see people differently or with fresh eyes, with a beginner's mind, as if we're noticing them for the first time, and see how the similarities we have with one another, how we're actually more connected than we know. Part of the epitome of dis-ease is a sense of feeling disconnected in a lot of ways. And this work is about learning how to feel more connected to ourselves, to the people around us, and to life in general.
I think
otherwise, feeling more alive.
Oh, sure. And I think another great example, and we've all been through this, you're standing in a room, somebody walks in, and it's an instant turnoff. You do not like that person, man or woman. It's the same thing that we've been talking about. You're having that reaction. And as far as you're concerned right now, I don't like that person. That could be the greatest person in the world, but they're reminding you of something in your past that didn't go right for you. And I really believe that you're spot on. You got it. The now effect. It's not that people don't want to be that way. They don't know how to be that way.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. So wouldn't it be interesting if you could take this book and make a course out of it for the junior high schoolers, the middle schoolers, and allow them to move forward. Do you realize the trouble that they would not get into in their life as they grew?
Yeah. I mean, the wonderful thing about that is, you know, not in the time that you or I grew up, but nowadays there is this work. Some of the science and the psychology behind it is being brought into schools, and not just middle school, but actually elementary schools, and middle schools and high schools. And it's starting to happen a little more and more slowly, but surely. And it's getting a very positive response by people in the school system. There's a wonderful video. ABC came and interviewed people who were bringing kind of mindfulness into the schools, and I interviewed the guy Richard Shankman, who is heading this program called Mindful Schools. And they came in, and this was a school that was lower socioeconomic school. People who, kids for the most part, who didn't really feel like they had a lot of hope in what they were going to become in life. And a lot of the skills that are in this book, the exercises, were taught to the kids. And there's this one really salient part of the video where one of the kids says, you know, when a test comes up and I'm feeling really stressed, I just allow myself to come to this moment, into the now, and I take a few deep breaths, and the thought comes up in my mind, I can make it.
Yeah.
You know, that's powerful.
Yeah, and it's simple.
Without tapping into this moment as it is, he would have been overrun by the thoughts that the limiting beliefs that were already there.
Sure. No question about it. And when you really come down to it, it is so simple that most of us as human beings could tap right into this. It would not be hard to learn. And at the same time, I really believe the biggest problem is that it's the people who don't know about it.
Yeah. And yeah. It needs to be, people don't know about it, and they don't, it's kind of what you were saying before. It's the how. Don't really know how. It all sounds nice. It's kind of like that cartoon I was telling before. I want to live in, you know, this moment, just not really actually this moment, some other moment on the beach. Because there's not really kind of the skills on how. We need to have the experience of being successful with engaging with the now in particular ways. And it needs to be simple. It needs to be practical. It needs to make sense. And, you know, that's hopefully what I try and deliver is this idea of it really being fashioned in a way that makes a lot of sense, very practical, very simple ways to integrate this into many different aspects of your life.
And I hear you loud and clear. We're just about out of time. A website we can find you at?
You could just go to ElishaGoldstein.com, ElishaGoldstein.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Elisha, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You're spot on with this, and I hope more and more people hear about it.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
Take care. Good night.
You too. I can only get-